Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm joined by my wife, Debbie, this morning. We are wanting to talk about the subject as we prepare. We're about a week away from Thanksgiving as we prepare for dealing with family. Hey, do you have some family members that are difficult to deal with? Maybe you don't see them a whole lot, but you see them at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's a part of you that says, ugh, we have to go to mom's house and so-and-so's going to be there. Well, how do you deal with difficult family at Christmas? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29, verse 9, when a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest. Hey, you might have a family member that you say, that's a foolish person, or we don't agree on key things. We don't agree about our Christianity, we don't agree about our politics, and we have to get together, and there's just always that tension there. My dad was in the Merchant Marine, and he said they had a mess hall rule. You could not talk about religion or politics in the mess hall. Why is that? Because that would start arguments that could lead to fist fights. So, how do we deal with difficult people, difficult family at holiday time? Debbie, you've had some experiences with difficult family.
Indeed, I have.
And did that make family time a little tense?
Yes, and it made it tense even days before, because you had this kind of dread of anticipation going into it, thinking, oh no, you know, what's going to happen this go round? Is it going to explode? Is it going to be better this time? You know, is this person going to act the fool? Are they going to be cordial? And how's it going to go? So you just had that added element of the unknown that caused stress and anxiety going into it.
Well, and the scripture says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so many of us, when we go into family time, especially when you watch family movies, you know, holiday movies, right. Thanksgiving, Christmas, I mean, Hallmark has all the Christmas movies and the magic of Christmas and all that. Well, that's just a movie. That's not reality. But we buy into the fantasy, and we think that our lives should be like the fantasy. And everybody, I don't think it's a bad thing, everybody loves the idea of family being together. Mom and dad want their family and their kids and their in-laws and their grandkids. They want everybody to get along, and they want it to be a fun time. You know, there's a reason why people like the Waltons, because, you know, it's just this big family living together. And I talked to a dear lady just the other day at our church, and she said, you know, I always wanted a big family, and I had four children, but now they're spread all over the U.S., and they don't really talk to one another all that much, and we're not all that close. And that's not what she wants. She wants to be a big, close family. But, you know, when you deal with that, the reality is, okay, we're not getting along very well. I always think of the movie Christmas Vacation with Cousin Eddie. And I think everybody has a Cousin Eddie in
right.
his or her family. It's like, how do you deal with that guy? Mm-hmm. You know, you secretly think, this guy is just an idiot. And I have to spend the holidays with him.
Yeah.
So what do you do in that situation?
Well, I ran across this funny poem that just can, in some degree, sum it up. But it says this: I've been thinking about Thanksgiving and all the families who will dine, and the laughing, the talking, the joking with siblings just like mine. I've been thinking about the dishes that will fill each tabletop, dressing, gravy, turkey, the eating will not stop. The only thing that's different between our families, my family is all turkeys. Things won't end happily. And it's can be so true. And, you know, you just have all these different personalities that come together. And you think, okay, but we're blood, you know, because deep down at the core, we love each other.
Right.
We're going to be there for each other.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean we like each other and are best friends with each other. That it doesn't, those things are not equal terms. And so, you just have all these different personalities coming together, and you don't know what kind of baggage or drama person X in your family has been experiencing that they're bringing into the situation. So you don't know what kind of lens they're going to be looking through, and if they're going to be on edge or easily offended or whatever it may be. And so I think you have to go into it not necessarily with an expectation, but with expectancy that it's going to be good, that you're going to have family time, that it's going to be an enjoyable time. And you can't go in expecting each person in the equation to act a certain way, because if you do, you're probably going to get disappointed. You're probably going to get your feelings hurt. You're probably going to walk away looking at it like, oh, this was not the best experience. But if you go into it with an expectancy of, okay, these people aren't perfect. I don't necessarily get along with all of them, but this is my family. We love each other. We're going to be here for each other. And Lord, just bless our time together.
Well, and you remember this, because we all have, you know, I say all of us, most of us have some difficult family. There are some Cousin Eddies in there. There's some difficult people. Here's the great news as a Christian. So maybe you're getting tense just thinking, oh, that, you know, we're leaving in a week to drive to place X to be with all my family, and I know that person X is going to be there. We don't get along. I'm already getting tense. How are we going to deal with this? Listen, here's the thing. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, Romans 5:5. So as a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God loves every Cousin Eddie. Every difficult person that you run across and every difficult family member, you know, the difficult people in life that we work with or we're neighbors with or something like that, you know, it's one thing you see them at work or whatever. You don't do holidays with them.
Right.
But when they're family members, you do have holidays with them. And so then you have to gear up. Just remember, the God who lives inside of you loves that person. So you may not, but he does. And so just say, Lord, I have trouble with this person. They're EGR people, extra grace required. So Lord, love through me. Help me to see this person as you see them. Help me to see their hurts. Help me to understand where they're coming from. And, you know, in this season of midterm elections, the politics can really cause people to get angry at one another. And so we have to just know there are certain subjects that it's probably not a good idea to go there, because it's going to create all kinds of fireworks. So what do they say in the Merchant Marine? Hey, in the mess hall, you don't talk about politics and you don't talk about religion. And so those, because those two things can really set people off.
Well, I think in light of that, it's good to go into your holiday time with just some personal boundaries that you've set up for those type situations, meaning that if you have a specific family member who you really are just like sandpaper with each other, you don't have to spend all your holiday time with that person. You don't have to sit next to that person at the dinner table. You can make a decision to be cordial, to be kind, but to have a boundary in place where if that person starts to talk about a subject that you know is going to be controversial, whatever, you can simply just get up and walk away. You don't have to stay in right. that situation. And I know that in family situations in the past, I've chosen to do that, where I've just said, okay, going into it, this is a boundary that I'm not going to deviate from. So when this particular family member wants to challenge me or wants to try and put me on the spot or, you know, wants to kind of bait me to engage me in some kind of altercation, I'm not going to take the bait. I'm just going to get up and quietly, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but I'm just going to walk away.
Right.
And I'm not going to engage in that. And I think, too, it's important to have a spirit of forgiveness in your heart, where if you have family members that truly have just hurt you, they've wounded you, you for your own peace of mind, have got to make the choice to forgive. Now, again, that doesn't mean you're best friends with them because you have a boundary in place. But I think it's important to go into a holiday season with not a lot of unforgiveness baggage attached to you.
Right. Well, and just know, too, that the old adage is so true, hurting people hurt people. So you may have some family members that are hurt from whatever reason. You know, Joseph in the Old Testament, he had brothers other than his full-blooded brother, Benjamin. His other brothers hated him. Why? Because he was dad's favorite. And so they had hurts that they projected on Joseph. And it's hard for Joseph to fix that. So it may be hard for you to fix the way your family members, a brother, a sister-in-law, brother-in-law, whatever it might be, view you. And so all you can do is love them. Proverbs 15:1 is a great verse for family gatherings. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And Debbie, one thing I've learned over the years, and it's a hard lesson, I have to keep reminding myself of this. I don't have to be right in every situation. I don't have to win an argument. I can walk away from that.
Right.
And so we shine and share. And with family, I think you share once. You let people know where you're coming from. You let them hear the gospel from your lips. You let them know how Jesus changed your life. And then you shine. And you continue to shine unless they ask you about your Christianity. And that opens the door to share. Because it's like, okay, you've asked me this. You want to know this. I'm not cramming it down your throat. You asked me to share this.
Well, I think that's an important thing to note is that for many of us, not all of our family members are believers. And we cannot expect an unbeliever to act like a believer. Mm-hmm. That's an unrealistic expectation to place on them, to think, okay, they're going to respond in this situation with the love of Christ. They're not, because they're an unbeliever. They don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their heart. And so, again, that goes back to what are our expectancies and what are our expectations? Our expectations cannot be for that lost family member that is wayward or that has wandered from the Lord or that does not have any relationship with the Lord at all. We cannot expect them to respond in a Christ-like fashion. Right. That's an unrealistic expectation to place on them, and it sets up hurt, frustration, disappointment. It just sets us up for that.
Well, the other thing, too, has to do with alcohol. So alcohol tends to flow freely at holiday time, and
yes,
when people start to get inebriated, then
bar the door.
Yeah, they lose their inhibitions. They say things. They can get angry. You know, why do you have so many fights at bars? Because people are drinking. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we did early on in our marriage was we said, well, let's have the holiday time at our house. Let's have the family get together at our house. So there's no alcohol at our house. And we have a planned thing of we're playing a game. We're going to do a family game. And everybody had a lot of fun.
Right.
Because it wasn't just a hodgepodge of some people doing this, playing cards over here and playing a game over here and watching TV over there. We all got together in the room, in the living room, and we were going to do an activity together. I think we played Balderdash and... Mm-hmm. I still remember some of the funny things that took place with that.
Your dad was so funny.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's the other thing, too. When family gets together, I think having something that you're going to do, playing a game together, Quiplash is another fun game you can play on Apple TV. And it creates a bonding there. And everybody's focused on the same thing. And it's just a fun thing. It's not necessarily super serious or controversial. It's just fun. So you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about dealing with difficult family members at holiday time. How do you do it? And so you're listening to American Family Radio, and we always want to have something very practical for you. We know that lots of stuff is going on in the world. President Trump Former President Trump announced his presidency, and people are talking about that. They're talking about the elections in Nevada. Hey, in the midst of all that, keep your eyes on Jesus, trust him, and pray, because we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who answers our prayers. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Do you know, for the last 2 years, Southwest Louisiana has faced multiple storms, including Hurricanes Laura, Delta, and Zeta. 8 Days of Hope sent our rapid response teams to help in these areas after Hurricane Laura hit Lake Charles and again after the flooding in 2021. Well, today we're excited to announce that our 18th rebuilding trip will take place in Lake Charles from December 3rd through December 10th. Thousands of volunteers will gather from around the country to love and serve this community by helping them repair their homes that were affected by these disasters. We're going to focus on roofing and drywall, painting, electrical work, flooring, and so much more. We can't wait to see what God is going to do. So there's a couple ways you can help with this mission. First, pray. Pray that God will speak through our actions to each family and make himself known. Second, consider volunteering. It's free, and we provide the food and the lodging. Hey, go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, read the FAQs, and you can volunteer right there. Again, that's 8daysofhope.com.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White, each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
Do you feel like you're in control of your finances, or is it more like the other way around? Sometimes all it takes is a little help and encouragement, and we've got just the thing. It's MoneyWise with Rob West. Every weekday morning from 9 to 10 Central, Rob and his money-savvy friends and colleagues help you stay in control of your finances. And it's not from the world's perspective, but from God's. Don't miss MoneyWise with Rob West every weekday morning from 9 to 10 Central, right here on AFR.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, in June and September of 2023, and we're going to have a wonderful time seeing Washington and seeing Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. We're going to go there on the Saturday. We're there. Everywhere we go, Stephen McDowell will be giving us a talk on the Christian heritage of America. And that's very important, and it's lost in much of our popular culture today. But Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a dear brother and has been going with me on these tours for many, many years. I just wouldn't do it without him. He is just an invaluable source, if you will, of information. So we're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and George Washington's Mount Vernon. And then we're also going to Jamestown, Williamsburg, and Yorktown. If you want to go with us, then go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, Debbie and I are talking today about dealing with difficult family at holiday time. We are just a week and a day outside of Thanksgiving, and many, many people are going to be getting together. We're excited about our two girls who live, one in Little Rock, one in Houston, coming for Thanksgiving. And
everybody will be together.
Yes, and so we're looking forward to that. Amy's coming in with Travis and Jack, and little baby in the womb. They're coming in on Tuesday night, and then Sarah's coming in after work on Wednesday night, so we're going to be together and looking forward to a great Thanksgiving. But what do you do if you're intense about Thanksgiving because family time can be very, very difficult? Hey, our key verse is Proverbs 29:9. When a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest. The Bible tells us to abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. And we need to be wise at holiday time if we have some difficult family members, and if we know some things are going to be tense if we hit certain subjects. So, Debbie, you were talking about boundaries.
Yeah, I think boundaries are, for some people, boundaries are very, very difficult to establish. Some personality types have a very difficult time with it. The person who has a tendency to be more of a people pleaser that wants everyone's approval, they have a really hard time setting boundaries. And in a given situation, the person who is causing you to need to set a boundary, they're not real receptive to boundaries, okay? Yeah. They don't like a boundary being in place, but it is in the building of those boundaries and the enforcing of those boundaries that you're really able to build healthy relationships. And it's just important to, in these family times, these crunch family times like this, it's important to go into the situation with a plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a, it's important to maybe in some instances have an escape plan in place. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if X or Y starts to develop in this situation, we're out of here. You know, we're just going to leave.
That's that reminds me of the movie Four Christmases with Mistletoe.
Yes.
Mistletoe was their code word. That's
right,
we got to get out of here.
Got to get out of here. And I think that's okay. There are times when, because of just a personal boundary you've set, I know for us, years back when the three girls were young, if it got to where there was too much alcohol flowing and things were starting to get crazy at the Shreve house, we left.
Right.
You know, we stayed as long as we could, but we had set a boundary like, okay, when this starts to take place, we're out of here because we don't want our kids exposed to this.
Right.
And not that there was not a lot of love there, because there was a lot of love there, but we had set that boundary in place. And, you know, early on, so many of your family members thought we were just nuts. You know, they thought our rules were crazy, and they just looked at us in terms of our belief system and all of that, they had a tendency to kind of look at us with a little bit of disdain, maybe even. But over the course of time, our faithfulness to what we believe and the values that we hold and our ability to stand up to those and to maintain the boundaries, they've come to really respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen overnight, but over time, it did happen. And I think it's just important in holidays particularly, to kind of have a game plan. For many people, you just need a game plan.
Well, if you think about, so the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the nine different characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is a singular, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If you just take the first three, love, joy, peace. If your family, if you have unsaved family, and they see love and joy and peace in your life, they may not like what you stand for, but they can't get past the fact that, man, they have a good marriage, their family is tight, they love one another, there's joy there, they have fun together, there's peace, they're not racked with all kinds of worry and guilt and all these things, because every single person wants love and joy and peace. But those are God's things. You can't get those through a pill, through a bottle, through a promotion. You have to get that through the Lord, because He is the one who gives to a life love and joy and peace. And that only comes when you're right with God. So we have an opportunity as Christians, think about it this way, if you're going to be with family and most of your family is unsaved, you have an opportunity to really shine and to let them see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And remember, once you share with them, don't keep doing that unless they ask you. Otherwise, they're not going to want to be around you, because they're going to feel like you're cramming the gospel down their throat. You know, you pick fruit that's ripe. You don't just keep yanking on green fruit that won't come off the branch because it's not ready. And you may have a family member that's just not ready at all. So that's okay. You know, they're far from the kingdom. Jesus said to one guy, you're not far from the kingdom. And so we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Where is this person? And God, use me and help me to know when to say something and when to back off. And so just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you about this subject, dealing with difficult family at holiday time. And we know, as we were talking at the break, we know that some people are dealing with some serious issues with physical abuse, sexual abuse in the family. And that can be, I mean, that's like a whole nother category of difficulty. And
talk about needing a boundary. I mean, that definitely requires a boundary.
A boundary and just real sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to know, you know, it could be one of those things where it's just like, this is not healthy for me to be around this person mm-hmm. right now. You know, there's not enough time of healing that has mm-hmm. taken place. And, you know, maybe you need to bow out in some situations.
Right. Yes, because, again, it goes back to the fact that if you have prayed through a boundary that the Lord has laid on your heart, you need to stand firm to that out of obedience to Him, because there is a time where healing can take place, and there are other situations where, you know, it takes two people to heal a relationship. And so if that other person is not willing to meet you halfway or to even move an inch in your direction, there are going to be some relationships that just are never truly going to be able to be repaired, because it does take two people to do that. And so, again, going back to the fact that under those circumstances, we just have to alter our expectation. Our expectation has to be different, because if we go into every family situation with the expectation that, okay, this is the time that this particular person is going to treat me differently, is going to respect me, is going to honor me, is going to value me, we can set ourselves up for yet another disappointment and hurt. And so all we can control is ourselves. We have no control on other people, what they say, how they respond. We can only control ourselves, which is why I go back to the importance of setting that boundary and that escape plan if you need one.
Mistletoe.
Right. If you need some kind of plan like that. And I know early in our marriage, one sister-in-law in particular would always just try to bait me. I mean, she would say the most outlandish things to make me purposely make me uncomfortable, to see how I was going to respond back. Was I still going to accept her? Was I still going to love her? You know, and that took years and years, decades, I dare say, to really resolve itself to where we had an understanding of, listen, you and I are very different, but I love you. I'm going to always be there for you. And vice versa. I feel that way. She feels that way towards me as well. But that didn't happen overnight. That didn't happen in a year or two.
Right.
That took time and consistent behavior over time on our part.
Well, so here's an issue that a lot of people face. So I go home for family time, and I have a family member who's homosexual. And they bring their homosexual mm-hmm. partner to the dinner, and my kids are around that. And what do I do? How do I handle that? That's a difficult situation. And you need, in that situation, you need wisdom from the Holy Spirit. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. You know, do I participate? Do I not participate? You know, I've had people ask me that over the years, and I think when it comes to like a gay wedding, do you participate in that? No, because love does not rejoice in unrighteousness; it rejoices with the truth. And so that's an unrighteous situation, and love doesn't rejoice with that. You know, you ask people to come to the wedding to rejoice together. Well, I can't rejoice with you. I think what you're doing is terrible, and it's an abomination to God. And so not that you'd tell them that per se, but it, you know, in your own heart, you say, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I love you, but I think what you're doing is wrong. And so, you know, do you sit at the dinner table with them? I think you do when it comes to just family time, but it's a good opportunity to teach your kids. Now, we love them, but what they're doing is wrong, and God is not in that at all. God loves them, but he hates what they're doing. And so having those boundaries is important. Well, we're going to the phone lines. We have Josh from Texas on the line. Josh, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, so I had a question. The scripture that you were talking about, I believe you said it was in Proverbs, about how a foolish man either laughs or gets angry.
Right. Proverbs 29, verse 9.
Proverbs 29, verse 9. So my whole question is when it has to do with a spouse, and I noticed your wife also said, I'm sorry, I'm kind of a little distracted right now, but your wife was also talking about how you got to set boundaries. I think she was the first one to start talking about that, and you were talking about how you had to have grace, and I was just wondering where does grace end and where do boundaries start, and are boundaries only leaving the conversation or leaving altogether? Because there's some pretty contentious stuff between me and my spouse, and I know the holidays are coming up, Thanksgiving's about to come up, and we're going to have to try and figure out how to work around some of these things. Anyway, yeah. I can get y'all to better explain that.
Okay, that's a good question. Debbie, what would you say about grace and boundaries?
Well, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I don't think by setting a boundary it puts a limit on the grace element. I think oftentimes there's grace in putting a boundary in place.
Right.
And so I don't know that they're two separate entities. Like if I put a boundary in place, I'm not extending grace. I don't think that's the way that works. Now, I think that can be that way if it's an unrealistic, extreme type of boundary. I think, yes, that can happen in that place, in that situation. But I think that, you know, it's just like with the Lord. The Lord loves us and offers us unlimited grace, but he has a boundary in place. And that boundary is, I need to see the blood of Jesus over you to let you in. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's in love and in grace that the boundary's there. And so I think the same thing can be true in family situations.
Yeah, and I think, Josh, since this relates to your spouse, I think having a conversation where you can kind of talk about things, hey, we're going to be with family, and maybe let's just kind of set some ground rules together that would be good, because we want to have a good experience. We don't want to have a bad experience, and we don't want to be, you know, at odds with one another and saying, you know, mean and snarky things to one another.
Snarky. I don't think I've ever heard you use that word before.
Yeah, I'm expanding.
You are so hip. Yes.
But I think just knowing that, saying, hey, you know, this could go well or it could go terrible. We need to have a plan so it doesn't go terrible, so we have a good experience, not a bad experience. And I think that is helpful, so both of you are on the same page and you both agree, you know, that this is an acceptable boundary. Because if you set a boundary and she doesn't agree to the boundary, and then, you know, then she can get upset about the boundary.
Right.
And so, yeah, I agree with Debbie on that, Josh. I think that there is grace in a boundary. And, you know, the Bible says, let all that you do be done in love. And love has boundaries. And, you know, love doesn't just approve of everything. Love says, hey, you know, doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, it rejoices with the truth. So love and truth are connected. But does that help?
I mean, that helps. That does. It helps. I just got to figure out what kind of boundaries we can agree on.
Yeah. Are you?
I appreciate you answering my question, though.
Hey, you're welcome, Josh. Are you going to her family's for Christmas, for Thanksgiving?
We got to figure out that one too.
Okay.
That's probably what we're going to figure out.
Well, we'll be praying that the Lord would give you wisdom and would take something that could potentially be bad and turn it for good. Romans 8:28 is such a great verse, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Well, thanks for calling, Josh. God bless you, my brother. Well, you are listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with Debbie, and we're talking about dealing with difficult family at holiday time. And we're taking your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Perhaps you have something you'd like to share or a question about your family time coming up next week for Thanksgiving. We'd love to talk to you about it. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
With the crazy prices of gas, groceries, everything, we knew if we were going to have health care, we had to find a better option. And did we ever? We joined MediShare, more than 400,000 Christians who share each other's medical bills. For us, it's been a game changer. We can't believe how much we're saving, around $500 every month. That's like a $6,000 a year pay raise. Talk about some huge stress relief. And their customer service is awesome, helpful, personal. No wonder they get such great reviews. And the best part is, because MediShare isn't insurance, our money is never used for a medical choice or procedure we don't believe in. MediShare is healthcare that really works.
Call 833-44-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE.
Paul writes, when one part of the body suffers, we suffer together. This is Bible League International, and the persecuted church around the world is paying a heavy price simply for following the Lord Jesus Christ. Warlocks burned down the home and shanty church that Emilio pastors in Chiapas, Mexico, near the border of Guatemala. And these male witches, they surrounded the homes of church members so they couldn't leave for 2 weeks. All of this because Christians oppose their pagan worship, but they lovingly share the gospel with those who persecute them. Listen, hundreds have come to Christ, and when I ask these heroes of the faith, how can we pray for you? They never say pray for an end to our suffering because they know God's working through it. What they pray for is that new believers will be able to endure and persevere under tremendous hardship, and you can do that when you can open your own Bible and be reminded of God's precious promises. $5 sends a Bible, $50 sends 10, $500 sends 100. Please, in this season of giving, pray about it and then call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. SendBiblesNow.org.
Well, welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my beautiful wife, Debbie. And we're talking about dealing with difficult people at holiday time. That's something that so many of us face, and we can get nervous just thinking of holiday time. The movie Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon is a funny movie about all the different dynamics of family. And, you know, every family's got a Cousin Eddie, as we said, from Christmas vacation. You got some weird people in your family. Hey, you're not alone, because most families do.
Well, and I think it's important to make sure you're not that person, right? I mean, you want to make sure going into the holidays that you're not the one that's difficult. You're not the one who's difficult to deal with. And if you have not dealt with your own personal junk, your own personal hurts, you can, in fact, be the one that's the one that's difficult to deal with. And I think it's important to make sure that you have your own heart right.
Yeah, you know, I'm preaching on Wednesday nights. I'm preaching through Genesis, and we're in the life of Abraham. And Abraham was given the promise, I will bless those who bless you. Or the Lord says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. I think that's important for us to remember. God wants to use us to be a blessing. You're going to encounter people at holiday time that you may not see the rest of the year. Maybe people are flying in from other places or whatever. You know, Thanksgiving time is a huge travel time. And so it's an opportunity to see people that you don't normally see. And I think a great prayer to pray is, Lord, help me to be a blessing to that person, and to make an impact on that person. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, to sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you are called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Not returning evil for evil. We use that when we would do marriage conferences, or when we do marriage conferences, in your arguments. There's such a tendency. You insult me, I'm going to insult you back and put a little more on it, and I'm going to beat you in this argument, that kind of thing. Don't do that. Give a blessing instead. You're called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And so go into holiday time thinking, God, use me to be a blessing to every single family member that I encounter this holiday season.
Well, and I think it's important to remember, too, that this holiday season that you're going to be experiencing may be the last one you have with person X.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not guaranteed that all of those family members are going to be walking this earth in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's to just make sure that you, in light of that, that you really treasure the time and that you treasure the moment, because God has you all there. That particular group of people in that particular phase of life, it's never going to happen again exactly the same. And so it's important to keep that in mind as well.
Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And Debbie, as we were talking, I was just thinking about a testimony I heard the other day. It's about this guy was talking about this particular individual. I can't remember who it was now, but he said, when I was a little kid, he went out of his way to be nice to me. And I've never forgotten that. You know, kids know, and they remember, this person is nice to me, this person was mean to me. It's kind of like with a dog, you know, this is a friendly dog, that dog bit me. And so as adults, we encounter kids a lot of times at family time, at get-togethers, little kids, and some people aren't good with little kids. But hey, suck it up and say, God, use me to be a blessing to this child's life. Even if that kid is spoiled and bratty, you know, you can be a blessing to
them.
They're
not going home with you, right?
No, they're not. They're not. But they'll remember that,
right?
that you know, Uncle Joe was, he's always so nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll remember Aunt Sue was always so mean to me. And you don't want to be like Aunt Sue. You want to be like Uncle Joe. You want to be nice and kind and loving to those little kids.
You know, I was thinking too during the break about just different traditions that you can establish as families to help make family time fun and memorable. And one of the things that we have always done every year, and it got to the point, particularly when our kids were more in their teen years, where it elicited groans from them, but we always made everyone go around the table and say what they were thankful for, and people couldn't duplicate. So you wanted to go first, you know, let me go first, you know, so I've got something, let me go first. But that's just a fun tradition to do. And then in our family, we have so many food traditions. The Shreve people are foodies. Mm-hmm. I'm not a foodie, but the rest of you are foodies. And so I was thinking, man, you know, maybe this year I'll do something different. And everyone just raises this yell collectively, like, no, these are our traditional dishes. It won't be Thanksgiving, it won't be Christmas if these items are not on the menu, you know?
So what do I tell you all the time? For special occasions,
it's not a time to experiment.
You don't experiment with the meal.
You do not experiment on a holiday.
You dance with the one that brung you.
Right.
Because the last thing in the world you want is like, well, I tried to make this for Thanksgiving and it was a disaster. And then we're all like, let's go to Cracker Barrel. You know, let's do something else because we wanted turkey and dressing and that kind of thing.
Right.
So we have Donna on the line from Texas. Donna, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Donna, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you so much for what you do and you and your lovely wife. Uh-huh. And I like hearing both of you. And thank you for that encouragement. I have a situation where my family, most of my family, it has very different political and religious views. And so that makes for interesting gathering. So just to kind of turn that off and turn on the grace is great, boundaries, of course, but turn on that grace, which is great encouragement and great advice. And I also wanted to offer something I started quite a while ago before my kids were out of the house. I would tell everybody we had potluck, and that's what we do now. We all do potluck. But everybody has to bring a corny joke, clean and corny joke. And so that's just, you know, kind of sprinkled throughout the day.
That's fun. That's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Are they all corny or are some of them good?
They're corny. Well, they're so corny, they're good.
That's great.
Yeah. They're so corny, you got to laugh.
I like jokes, and I have a kind of a mind for jokes and a filing cabinet in my head for jokes. And
yeah,
so,
you tell jokes so good, too, Jeff. You're such a good joke teller.
Do you, Donna, are you a good joke teller?
I'm okay if I can remember the joke.
Yeah.
If I can remember. But you know what? I've got a lot of my jokes when I listen to on Fridays. I listen to the professors on Learning University. And I get a lot of my jokes there, and I write them down.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good. Well, what part of Texas do you live in?
I'm in Spring, just outside of Houston.
That's where we used to live.
We lived in Spring for a good while. We lived right by Klein High School.
Okay. Yeah, I know where that is. Yeah, I'm liking it out here. We came here from upper state New York, and we came there from Colorado, and I came to Colorado from Los Angeles. So we've been around the block a couple of times.
I guess so. Yeah.
Took you a while to get to Texas, but it's God's country.
You know what? I got here as soon as I could, right?
There you go. That's right.
Well, thank you for calling in today, Donna, and God bless you. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with your family.
Thank you. I'm expecting it. I'm praying about it. And it always is good, but, you know, we always want to see God do his thing.
Amen. Amen, for sure. Well, God bless you. Well,
speaking of all the food, I got to read this little poem I found because I think it's just so cute. And it says this: may your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious and your pies take the prize. And may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off your thighs.
Hey.
I think we can all agree with that. Do you remember that one holiday where Amy ate so much that she was just lying on the floor miserable because she had eaten so much? And I think that's just a word of caution to all of us. Let's not be gluttons over the holiday season.
Yes. Okay, we have Demetrius from Texas. Demetrius, thank you for calling in today.
How you doing there, Jeff?
Good. How are you?
Good. I called a while back. I'm the same guy that called. They did 25 years in prison.
Yes,
and
sir.
Gave my testimonies.
Yes.
Well, I ran into that same situation when I got out of having to deal with my family. I grew up in a very broken home family, and things were just, nobody was a Christian. It wasn't until later on I started ministering to my dad and so on and so on. But again, like the lady that called before, I have the same problem, a lot of political differences and a lot of different beliefs and them saying they're Christian. But I absolutely agree with the grace part. You know, I do less talking and more of listening so I can understand where they're coming from and also understand the hurt, because I've been gone those 25 years. So a lot has happened in those years. But I think it goes without saying for the mature Christian, they need to identify who they're speaking with. You're a newborn believer, so that means, I mean, you're a believer, so you have to identify who you're actually speaking with. So if their political views are different, then you have to deal with them as such, in a graceful way still.
Right.
Then there's the people that say they're Christians, and yet their belief system is really out of whack, you know, especially with a lot of the ideologies that are going around today, even in the evangelical circle. And but I think it does well for the Christian to first identify who their audience is at first, because everybody's not the same, whether it be sister, your mother, your brother, your father. If you're talking to your father, then, hey, respect your father still. Don't forget that.
Right.
If you're talking to your mother, respect your mother still, because that is your mother and father, and we're called to honor your mother and your father. Don't forget. So, and anyway, yeah. I'll let you comment on what I just said there.
Yeah, that's a really good word, I think, and that's wisdom. You know, who am I talking to? Where are they coming from? What kind of hurts? What kind of baggage do they have? You always want to treat people with respect. You know, the Bible says always being, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account, yet with gentleness and reverence. And so we want to be gentle. We want to be reverent. You know, I tell people all the time, a sermon is way different than talking to somebody one-on-one or one-on-two, one-on-three. When you're talking directly to someone, it's grace and truth. When you're talking to a crowd of people, it can be truth and grace. And so they're both there, but truth can be the lead foot as opposed to grace being the lead foot. I always kind of look at that when I counsel somebody. It's way different than when I'm in a sermon, because when I'm in a sermon, I'm not talking to you. If the shoe fits, wear it. But I'm just talking to everybody, and it's not directed at you. And so I think that's an important thing to remember.
And also, I forget where I read this, and Jeff, you may remember, but it's, you rarely ever have to apologize for something you didn't say. And
right.
So there's wisdom in knowing, you know, when a word is edifying for the moment and when it's not edifying, and to just keep your mouth shut. I mean, there are just times when you just absolutely do not have to say what you're thinking. And especially in those family situations, because words are like gasoline on a flame so often. And so it's careful. It's good to be careful with our words.
Yeah. So thanks, my brother. Thanks for calling in today, and God bless you. I hope you do have a good time with your family. And even in the midst of difficulty, may God give you wisdom. We have about another minute, and we have Alan from North Carolina on the line. Alan, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Real quickly, yeah. We would traditionally have a big family get-together at Christmas, and there's this one little boy who would sometimes come up and hit me. He was a little brat. And when he would rear back and start to hit me again, I would physically hold his arm and would not let him do that. I wanted to find out really what would be, is there a more effective, more Christian way to deal with that? Because I love kids, but, you know, I'm just not going to be, you know, hit on by a little brat.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That would be difficult. I wouldn't let him hit me either.
No, and maybe have a talk with the parent.
Yeah, and say, hey, Junior needs a...
Yeah.
Here's my belt. Now, that's a difficult situation for sure, Alan. So, yeah, I think you...
But holding his arms back, that's teaching him to respect. Right. And so I think that's a... That's not necessarily a bad thing to do.
No, I think that's valid for sure. Well, thank you, my brother. Thank you for calling in. God bless you. I appreciate your ministry. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And I'm so grateful that Debbie joined today. She'd been out of town and then been sick, so she is back in the saddle. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you. Remember, we're called to be His witnesses, so let's witness to the glory of the Lord. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.